Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
We're going to be talking about Hall of Famers from all eras of football in this edition of the Football History Headlines. So we want to just sit back and relax as we take you on that journey through the gridiron history in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com once again, and we're bringing you the great football history headlines. And today's edition is going to be filled with Hall of Fame birthdays for this March 8th. And there are some plenty of great athletes to talk about from all generations and eras of football, from the stocking cap era all the way to the most modern era. And we're really excited to bring that to you. But we also want to let you know that we have a special edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a bonus edition covering our Football by Numbers series. The number's 14, and we have a special guest, football historian Joe Ziemba from When Football Was Football, joins us to talk about those great number 14s. You don't want to miss it. It drops, you know, this same day, and some double your pleasure of listening today on this March 8th. But now let's get to our football history headlines, which is filled with our Hall of Fame birthdays. And we'll start off March 8th, 1873, in Honolulu, Hawaii. Charlie Brewer, the fantastic fullback from Harvard University during the stocking cap era of football, of college football, arrived into this world. The NFF states that Charlie weighed a mere 150 pounds, but earned his first of three All-American selections during his freshman season of 1892. A nagging ankle injury in the 1894 season perhaps prevented Charles Brewer from earning a four-time All-American status. The great journalist of the time, Casper Whitney, described Brewer as that he can stand as much banging as any back. His gains were made by his quickness in starting for the hole and determination once he reached it. He is cat-like in his movement and very speedy. Wow, that's some big words from a great journalist, Casper Whitney. And in an era where Harvard and Yale dominated the landscape of college football, according to the National Football Foundation, Brewer was a standout player on his squad. As a matter of fact, the National Football Foundation selected Charlie Brewer for induction to their College Football Hall of Fame in 1971. You know, unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of statistics from that era. There weren't much kept, and so we can't appreciate what his great accomplishments were on a football field. But when you have some big-time journalists and you have the National Football Foundation recognizing him, you know he had to be a special player for those Harvard teams. And coming from Hawaii, that's really special, you know, from the 19th century. Well, we have another 19th century birthday. This one took place March 8th, 1893, Charleston, West Virginia. The Marshall and then later Washington and Lee halfback, Harry, better known as Cy Young, was welcomed to this life. Now, I know what you're thinking, but this is not the famous baseball pitcher Cy Young that you may be thinking of, and even though he was a good player in the diamond as well as on the gridiron. That more famous Cy Young's real name was Denton True Young. That's where the Cy Young Award comes from. But the player we're talking about here is Harry Young, and he was welcomed into the College Football Hall of Fame Rooms of Legends in 1958. In fact, though Young played varsity football at two schools, he actually attended three colleges. In 1910 and 1911 seasons, they were spent with the Thundering Herd of Marshall. And according to the NFF's website bio, Cy, on November 2nd, 1910, kicked three field goals as Marshall beat Glenville 9-0. Marshall's overall record in his time with the Herd was 9-2-2. And in the fall of 1912, he attended the University of Michigan and was on the freshman football team there. Cy then transferred to Washington and Lee and was on the football team from 1913 to 1916. He won 16 letters at Washington and Lee, and as a senior, he was a captain of all four teams. Yeah, football, baseball, basketball, and track. The 1913 WNL team was 8-1, and they outscored their opponents 200 points to 7 for their opponents. Young had 54 points on touchdowns and extra points. In 1914, the team went 9-0 and outscored opponents 313-12, and Young scored 57 points in that campaign. The NFL voter secured a place in the College Football Hall of Fame for Cy Young, Harry was his first name, in 1958. Oh, that's not the end of our Hall of Famers of great athletes who played on the gridiron for their birthdays for this March 8th, because our next one takes place in 1917 in Asheville, North Carolina. And let me tell you the story of Duke University star center Dan Hill. That's when he was born. The footballfoundation.org website tells us that Dan played for the famed Iron Dukes of the 1938 season. And what a name for that team. You know, we know that the Duke Blue Devils, but the Iron Dukes. That just has something powerful on the football field, and they were. Dan Hill was a starting center in the one platoon era when centers were also playing linebackers on defense. He was an All-American selection and a co-captain of the undefeated, untied, and unscored upon 1938 Duke University team. The Iron Dukes won 5 games with a score of 6-0 or 7-0. Yes, they were perfect in the regular season. That is, until they ran into a powerful Southern Cal team who took the lead with just 41 seconds remaining in the Rose Bowl and ended up overturning the Duke Blue Devils. The College Football Hall of Fame prepared a place for the legacy of Dan Hill in their museum in 1962. Wow, that's heartbreaking to go all that way and then lose it in the Rose Bowl with the last 41 seconds. March 8th, 1938, Royal Oak, Michigan. Army's outstanding halfback in the seasons of 1956 through 1958, Pete Dawkins received his born on date. The NFF reveals the story of how Pete overcame the crippling grip of polio as a child to become not only a great military leader, but a hero on the gridiron as well. Dawkins achieved some very prestigious heights in his college years, including his senior season of 1958 when he won the Heisman Trophy, the Maxwell Trophy, was a unanimous All-American, as well as a Rhodes Scholar. Wow. It doesn't get much more successful than that. He scored 12 TDs in that 1958 campaign for the Cadets, as well as running the ball and returning punts. The NFF party of voters chose the collegiate resume of Pete Dawkins for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1975. And that's not the end of his story, because after leaving West Point, he earned a bachelor's and a master's degree at Oxford in London. Very prestigious school there. Then he served his country in Vietnam War and came back, and all he wanted to do is go to Princeton, another prestigious college, and earn yet another degree. So no wonder he was a Rhodes Scholar, very educated man, but a great football player and a great military hero of the United States military. And we thank him for his service for that. And what a story for that. And that's not the only story we have today, because we have another birthday on March 8th, 1962, Norfolk, Virginia. The brilliant defensive tackle of the University of North Carolina Tar Heels in the years of 1981 to 1983, William Fuller was born. William was a large man that had quick hands and feet, which helped him to beat blocks and shoot gaps into offensive backfields of opponents. Yeah, he wreaked havoc in those offensive backfields. And this skill set helped him to earn a very impressive feat of being a 2-time first-team All-American selection. Fuller left the Tar Heels holding some stellar school records. The D-tackle registered 57 tackles for loss and a single-season tackles for loss with 22 of them in both 1981 and 1983, both records at the school. Fuller was a finalist for the Outland Trophy twice in his collegiate career, and he finished his career with 225 tackles and 20 sacks. The stats and gridiron memories of William Fuller were taken into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2016. And though he was selected in the NFL supplemental draft, William chose to accept a position in the USFL, where he played on the Philadelphia/Baltimore Stars, and they won consecutive championships of that two-year league, the USFL. After that, the league disbanded, and he joined the NFL's Houston Oilers, where he had 13 great NFL seasons, playing with both the Oilers, the Chargers, and the Eagles. And Fuller was a 4-time All-Pro in the NFL and played in 4 Pro Bowl games. Another great story, a great Hall of Famer in college ranks. And our last birthday took place March 8th, 1965, Holyoke, Massachusetts. Running back extraordinaire with Colgate University from 1984 to 1987, Kenny Gamble arrived into life. The footballfoundation.org website tells us that Kenny led the nation in all-purpose yardage with 2,425 yards, as well as his 1,816 rushing yardage in that year. Gamble was the top rusher at Colgate in all four seasons that he played, and he set 29 school records during his collegiate career. In 1987, he led the nation for Division I AA in all-purpose yards with 2,097 and was second in rushing yards with 1,411, and won the Walter Payton Award as the nation's best player in that level of Division I AA football. The National Football Foundation wisely chose to place Kenny Gamble into their museum called the College Football Hall of Fame in 2002. When Kenny reached the pinnacle of his playing time in the NFL, when he played for the KC Chiefs for a few seasons. You know, that's the biggest stage in football, American football, it's the NFL, and he got to play there for two seasons. What an honor, and what a player in Kenny Gamble. Well, that's all we have for today for our March 8th football history headlines, and we are sure glad that you were able to join us, and we appreciate you being here and spending your time with us. And don't forget, there is a bonus coverage, a bonus edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast, and we're talking about the greatest players ever to wear the number 14 in the NFL, and it's some great names you were talking about, and some excellent stories with our guest, Joe Ziemba, the historian that wrote a couple great books on football history. One in particular is When Football Was Football. You can find that at Amazon, and it is just an excellent view of that Chicago era of professional football. And he's writing more books too. He's a historian extraordinaire, as we say, and he is found on the Sports History Network on a podcast that comes on every other week. When Football Was Football is the name of that too. That's also the name of one of his books. So join Joe and I as we have that discussion on the greatest number 14s of all time. Right now it's dropped, and you can listen to that right after this podcast. You can also find it on the sportshistorynetwork.com and on pigskindispatch.com. And if you have any things that you'd like to comment on what we talked about today or on any of the other podcasts that we've had, please email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing. And I guess that's all we have for today, so we'll see you tomorrow. So till tomorrow, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.